become your own bank. That's one of the things that me and Jim Sinclair talked about for many years. Gots, get out of the system. And one of the steps is to become your own bank. Don't have someone between you and your capital that can bankrupt.
Here at Liberty and Finance, we're licensed brokers with Miles Franklin. We are standing by the inventory, ready to make sure you get what you need, even into the wee hours of night and on weekends, because preparedness doesn't stop. Call us 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237.
Welcome back to Liberty and Finance. We're always privileged to have this returning guest, Bill Holter, one of the most widely followed analysts in the precious metals and sound money arena, is here with us again this Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. Bill, thanks for coming back on Liberty and Finance.
Thanks for having me back, Donegan.
There's so much to talk about. I was hoping we could narrow it down to three main topics. The first is the banks. The second is the dollar / inflation. And the third is the metal markets. So could we start off by your assessment of the banks? We've seen several, I'm losing track, whether it's three or four major bank failures in the past 2 weeks, all of which have evoked extraordinary measures by the Fed and other banks coming together to try to bail out, rescue, put together new recovery plans, while assuring people that all is well, everything's fine here, don't worry folks, we got you covered. Can you talk to us about your assessment of the banking risk and whether we've seen the last tremors or whether that's just before a big earthquake to come?
Yeah, no, it's pretty obvious it's an earthquake to come. I mean, we've seen the first three or four cockroaches, and there's hundreds of them. What I'm taking away from this is if you go back to the original SVB weekend, that weekend, I fully expected them to be absorbed by someone. And it turns out I heard two separate stories. One, there were no bids. And the second one, there was one bid, which is basically the same thing. And what did Janet Yellen do? She stepped up and said that the Treasury would backstop and guarantee all deposits. So that's what, $17 or $18 trillion. Now think about what she actually did. She basically put the Treasury's balance sheet on the line, and they don't have a good balance sheet to begin with. I mean, they've already got $31 trillion in debt. That's 125% of U.S. GDP. And basically, the Treasury needs to borrow over $1 trillion per year just to keep the doors open. So how are they going to come up with $18 trillion to guarantee everything? Then she backpedaled on that, and she said, well, no, it's not the whole banking system. It's just the, quote, important banks. Well, first off, who gets to decide who the important banks are? We know it's Yellen, Powell, the powers that be. But what that's doing, and you're already seeing it, I think yesterday was PacWest came in the news big time. So that's another bank. What's happening is you're seeing deposits now leave smaller banks, regional banks, and go into the big banks because Yellen said, well, we're going to guarantee that. So what that's going to cause is basically a bank run on the smaller banks. This is a no-win situation, and Yellen has, like I said, put the Treasury's balance sheet in the spotlight and on the line. So the answer to your question is no, the tremors aren't over. It's just beginning. Oh, and one other thing, Donegan, let's look at Credit Suisse. What did the Swiss National Bank do? They stepped up and said, we're going to guarantee $100 billion. Well, I mean, that's not going to do it. What other banks? And that puts their balance sheet in the spotlight and basically as a target. So this is all said and done, I think what you're going to see is that the problems, the black holes in the balance sheets of the banks with treasuries, sovereign treasuries trying to backstop that, we're going to find out that the markets now are far larger than the central banks. and the treasuries. And what's going to happen is when the banks go, so will the treasuries and central banks. So it's going to take, it's going to take everything with it.
That's one of the things that has been pointed out, and even the congressional testimony that Yellen did and was being grilled by a senator from Oklahoma about this question about encouraging or accelerating the migration from small and regional and community banks to the big, too big to fail banks, global systemically important banks. Yellen did nothing to to quell that concern on people's minds, if anything, increased it. But that alone seems like it may be poised to cause numerous, myriad bank failures if suddenly we get a mass wave of withdrawals from so many small regional and community banks.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also, now this is a theory, I mean, I can't prove this. I think they've made a mistake and missed the fact that there's going to be a run on the regional banks. My thought process has been they're trying to corral as much capital as they can in the big banks. And actually knowing at some point the smaller banks are going to go. And what they'll do is they'll bring forth the central bank digital currency. It'd be a lot easier to do it with, you know, 5 or 10 banks rather than hundreds of banks. And then the other banks will have to join in.
Look at what we've experienced in the past 3 years. In fact, we interviewed Danny McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute about 10 years ago. And he said at that time that if people understood how controlled our media is, he said they don't understand that our media is currently more controlled than the Soviet-era Russian media was. If people only understood that. You look at what we've experienced in terms of consolidation into the big, the too-big-to-fail retail establishments, the big-box stores, et cetera, rather than all the mom-and-pop shops that were driven out of business with the COVID lockdowns. We've seen that happen in other fronts on media. Information, the big tech platforms got to control what the story was, the one narrative to rule them all. And now it looks like on the banking front, it's going to be potentially a consolidation into, you know, either one bank to rule them all eventually, but at least a small cohort of the biggest, the too big to fail, who will be compliant and complicit with that consolidation attempt. Any further thoughts on that before we could talk about the dollar?
No, I agree with your take there. It is about consolidation.
Let's talk about the dollar, because it's been said for some time that the Fed was going to have to choose between saving the markets slash the banking system versus saving the currency. And our most recent interview with Alistair McLeod, he said, well, they've answered the question. They're going to let the currency go down the drain in order to save the system. Your thoughts on that for people who still have deposits in dollars or still holding on dollars as their cash liquidity reserve, what the future ahead is for the dollar as you see it?
For those who continue to believe they should have deposits in the banks, you lose either way. Either the banking system goes down and you lose your dollars, or the banking system, the financial system stays up, but the dollar gets toasted, then you lose purchasing power with the dollars that you didn't lose. And that's why basically all roads lead to gold and silver, because if the financial system comes down, what's the only thing that cannot bankrupt? Or what's the only money that can't bankrupt? Gold and silver. And conversely, if the dollar gets roasted, what's going to happen with gold and silver? They'll at least hold their purchasing power, and when the derivatives get blown up, they'll probably explode to many multiples of purchase of current purchasing power. So all roads lead to gold and silver from where the Fed stands now. They're between a rock and a hard place. They only have two choices, and either choice is literally destruction of the standard of living here in the U.S.
There's lots of speculation, it has been for years, about how intentional that destruction of the U.S. May have been and is ongoing. It seems remarkable, really, to anyone who just is an observer of actions of government, actions of the banks, actions, whether you look at our border, whether you look at our finances, whether you look at anything, it seems almost unexplainable unless you say, well, let's assume the premise that this was intentional, then all of a sudden all the pieces fall together in the puzzle. Can you explain what your view is of that, the big picture of the diminishment of our standard of living both now and going forward?
Yeah, I actually wrote about that concept back in 2007, 2008, and I flat out said that the policies that were being put in place were too stupid to be a mistake. It had to be on purpose. And understand that the United States, the population of the United States, is really the last bastion between freedom and tyranny guaranteed by the Second Amendment. Now, if they absolutely tank the financial system, doesn't really matter how many guns people have. Yeah, they can protect themselves, but basically America as a beacon of democracy or whatever they wanted to call it is over. And you can see the New World Order right before your eyes. It's not the New World Order that George Bush talked about in 1991 and more talked about since then. The New World Order was the meeting yesterday between Xi and Putin. And it will not surprise me on any given morning where you wake up and you find out that China and Russia announced that they are going to gold-backed currencies, not convertible currencies, but gold-backed currencies. And that will destroy the dollar. And it will also bring into question the amount of gold that the U.S. has. And, you know, we've talked about this many times. There's not been an audit of Fort Knox and West Point since the 1950s. And you have to ask why. And the only possible reason is because the gold's not actually there.
That concern about the coalition of countries that are coming together on to base their trade and perhaps their new currency, settlement currency, et cetera, on commodities, real things, was thought to be an east-west split. It was thought, okay, that's going on in Asia, that's not here. You got the West versus the East. But most recently, Mexico announced an intention and desire to join BRICS Plus. There's even been some rumors that Japan might be contemplating that. What's your view of how sweeping that coalition may become?
I think it's going to become pretty close to global. I mean, you'll have the Five Eyes that will, you know, try to resist it, the U.S., Canada, Britain, France, Australia. But just look at what's happened just in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You had basically a truce between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I mean, they've been mortal religious enemies for, you know, years. So you've got them coming together, and they are going to be part of the coalition. You've got India that's joining the coalition. This is going to be a worldwide event where the use of the dollar to clear trade, for what possible purpose could a country want to clear with dollars if the rest of the world is using yuan or whatever currencies they come up with? And what possible country would want to stand with the U.S. with all of the ridiculous things coming out of the U.S.? I mean, all the transgender stuff. I mean, we got generals now that are wearing skirts. Who wants to stand with the U.S. or stand behind the U.S. and let the U.S. protect them? Because it's clear, even militarily, you know, we're extremely weak. Not to mention the fact that, you know, if you and I know that the dollar is mathematically toast, trust me, there's smart people all over the world that understand it even better than we do.
Yeah, I can't remember who the analyst was. Just about 2 weeks ago, I saw a video talking about common knowledge and the idea that common knowledge is when everybody knows that everybody knows, like the king has no clothes on. Sometimes it takes a little innocent person like the boy in the story to shout, but the king is wearing no clothes. Where do you think we're at in that journey of getting to the point where everybody knows that everybody knows?
I think we're very far along. And I think those that don't know are here in the U.S. because of the propaganda, because of, like you said, the concentration in the media, which is 100% propaganda. And like you said, worse than TASS or Pravda. So I think the world knows, but I don't think Americans, for the most part, know. You might have 15, 20, maybe even 30 or 40% of Americans know something's really, really wrong, but a very small percentage. 2%, 3%, 4% really understand what the problem is. And the problem has been a currency that's been totally debased, financialization of the system, and basically the rotting of the core of the United States, the rotting of the social values of the United States. I think there's a small amount of people who understand the math behind it. They know something's wrong, but they don't know exactly what it is. And the ones that have bought gold and silver are really the ones that will end up with wealth when this thing goes down. And they have understood the math.
They may have understood the math. A lot of people are still very confused about the logistics of how things are going to play out. And I know it isn't really possible to know in advance about life when it's very complex.
No one knows the logistics. I mean, if I told you I knew the logistics, I'd be full of shit. So what's going to happen is going to be really bad. And I think there will be a period of time where barter is more prevalent than anything else. But you have to know what is the next currency. What are the currencies in Russia and China? What currencies are they going to use worldwide? And you also have to know what price they're going to mark gold up, because gold is going to be marked up. It will be priced at whatever China and Russia says it is, and COMEX, LBMA, LME, they're going to be irrelevant.
Even talking about or thinking about the quote-unquote price of gold, and this has certainly been on my mind a lot as clients are concerned about having to pay potentially capital gains tax on increase in nominal value of precious metals, that sort of thing. The whole concept of the price of money in something else almost makes no sense, rather than turning that around and saying gold is, silver is, what's the price of everything in gold and silver? How do you think it might be helpful for people to get their head on straight about that, to really get into what the future is going to bring?
No, I agree. We've been taught, I mean, I'm 60 years old or a little over 60 years old, and we've been taught to value things in dollars, when in fact, it's the dollar that should be valued in terms of gold, as opposed to gold valued in dollars. And I've said for years and years that once this thing comes to fruition, you will count your wealth in ounces, no longer in dollars. Because, I mean, there's going to be days where after the initial reset, there will be days where you're going to see the dollar drop 10, 20% or more in a day's time versus gold. And it's not gold going up, because an ounce that was minted 100 years ago is still that same ounce. But the dollar that was printed 100 years ago is not the same dollar. It's only one penny.
That's one of the things that I think it's also helpful to try to get your head around, and people should probably try to do that, is to understand that when you have something real, whether that's food, land, or precious metals, you're going to have to decide whether you're willing to part with any of that in the future for something else that's real. People have asked, well, how's it going to work? How do you get rid of the precious metals? Or how do you sell them? You can't go into a store right now and plunk down. We've talked about that before. But you've shared with us in the past that in country after country after country around the world, when they get into real financial trouble, people just figure it out. And it reemerges in people's awareness that gold and silver are real money. And then at that point, people have to decide what they're willing to part with their gold and silver for. Can you talk to us about that mental shift that we need to be preparing ourselves for?
Yeah, that's going to be a huge shift, because there's not going to be exchanges that you can look on your computer or watch the TV or whatever and see a price of gold going across the bottom line, or a price of silver going across the bottom line. Once it gets down to that, where what someone's willing to give for 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver or whatever, and that happens thousands or millions of times a day, that's the new market. The exchanges will, like I said, they will become completely irrelevant. They will fail. They won't deliver. And you won't even get a spot price. The price basically is between, you know, if I've got eggs and you've got silver, we got to decide, you and I, you know, what percentage of an ounce of silver does a dozen eggs fetch? So it's going to be on an individual basis. And then you will eventually see true market clearing prices. And I firmly believe you're going to see much, much higher purchasing power in gold and silver. I'm not talking about, you know, gold going to $100,000 an ounce or silver to $10,000 an ounce or like that. I'm not talking about in dollars. I'm talking about what will an ounce of gold purchase? Will it purchase what it does today, you know, $1,000 worth of goods? Will it purchase a car? Will it purchase some acreage of land? That's where the true clearing price is going to be decided, is going to be between individuals. And anybody who think has the mindset of, well, how am I going to get rid of gold? Forget about it, because you're thinking about it completely, completely wrong. Because the rest of the world is going to be wondering, how do I get gold? And you already have it. So you're going to have people banging your door down, hopefully not literally, but, you know, people are going to be coming to you wanting to get your gold for goods, for services, what have you. So it's to think or to worry about how am I going to turn it back into dollars or currency? That's really, it's dumb think.
You've been a strong advocate in the past of people owning gold or silver coins of the realm, as you say, from the country that they live in, issued by the mint of the country that they live in. What's your thinking about that currently? Has it evolved in any way? If someone holds, for example, gold bars or silver rounds or something like that, do you feel that they should make their move while they still can to get into government-issued coins of the country that they live in?
Yeah, I've been talking about this for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And let me ask you, I mean, you, as I, you're a precious metals broker. If the system goes down and somebody comes to you with a gold bar, do you have the ability to test it?
Not personally.
So would you accept it?
Probably not.
Would you be more likely to accept a gold eagle or a silver eagle versus a gold bar or a silver bar?
Yeah, bars in particular are probably the worst case on the other end of the spectrum from that standpoint, because they're so low detail of the engraving, that sort of thing. And especially gold bars potentially can be fraudulently manufactured, that sort of thing. If somebody's trying to make a forgery, it's a lot easier to make a forgery of a bar.
Exactly. That's my point. And as far as holding U.S. coin, what has happened as far as the premium, meaning the most sought after, gold eagles, silver eagles? I mean, look at what some of the discount dealers are doing now. I mean, I looked on APMEX just to see what they're doing. I think they're $14 over spot on junk. And by the way, we've not had any junk for almost 2 weeks. It's gone. So if you own junk, you have premium coin. Look at the premium on eagles at APMEX, $15, $16, $17. That's, in my opinion, way too high, but it's still a pretty high premium, $11, $12, whatever. And then in the gold area, you know, gold eagles are what, 7-8% over spot versus other foreign sovereigns that are 2%. But look at the pre-1933 gold. I don't know if you've looked at it in the last maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I mean, you're looking at MS63 Libs now over $2,500. You're looking at MS63 Saints, nearly $2,500. And the bids are strong there. And you're looking at Eagles at what, 20, 21, 20, 2130, something like that. So the premium finally is starting to move. And understand that the pre-33 coins and the junk pre or 1964 and earlier dimes, quarters, and halves, they haven't minted those in almost 60 years for the junk and 100 years for the pre-33 gold. They are the canaries in the coal mine. And the fact that you can't find junk anywhere, I challenge anybody to go out and find 10 or 20 bags of junk. You can't do it. It's all gone. And so that's for silver. And in gold, all of a sudden, just in the last 3 or 4 weeks, the premiums on the pre-1933 gold are starting to skyrocket. Those tell you that the demand is overwhelming the supply, because there is no new supply of that.
Yeah, and when people are trying to put an entire nest egg, their whether they've sold their property, sold a home, sold a ranch, whether they've liquidated a 401k or got a pension buyout or something like that. Some people have big nest eggs that they're trying to put into metals. Do you see a layered strategy there where they at least make sure they have a sufficient supply of the sovereign minted coins, as you mentioned, and they can still augment that with less expensive, you know, from other countries, that sort of thing, if they really want to go big on ounces, but don't want to keep paying up that high premium on all of their nest egg?
In gold, I would advise just do the Eagles. I mean, what's the difference between a 5 or 6% premium and 7 or 8%? There's really no difference. So in gold, I think it's a no-brainer. You do Eagles, and if you want some of the pre-33 gold, you do that. With the Eagles, with silver, yeah, you should definitely have some Eagles. Hopefully you've already bought some junk. I personally use silver as my bank account, and you know, every month, once or twice a month, I buy silver. I don't keep money in the bank. I keep no more than 6 months worth of bills in the bank. And this last 2 weeks, I went out and I bought 100-ounce silver bars because I know I'm going to have to liquidate it for taxes. I know I've got other responsibilities coming up. And that'll be the first thing I liquidate. The last thing I liquidate will be the junk silver, which is probably, 80 or 85% of what I hold, stored.
Yep, that idea of holding precious metals either in your hand or in a vault as a out-of-bank savings account is a new concept to many people. Maybe you want to cover that one more time for people who want to be able to have, and Rick Rule always says maintain bullion liquidity among his steps that he advises for people. And that's a good example of that, using that as a savings account.
Yeah, well, it just makes sense. And like we were talking about earlier, if you keep money in a bank, either your bank's going to go, or if the Treasury steps up and saves all the banks, the dollar is going to go. So you're either going to lose your dollars or you're going to lose your purchasing power. Whereas if you're in gold or silver, it cannot bankrupt and it's not going to dilute. Become your own bank. That's one of the things that me and Jim Sinclair talked about for many years. Get out of the system. And one of the steps is to become your own bank. Don't have someone between you and your capital that can bankrupt.
Bill, you just started a web channel not that long ago. Can you tell people how they can find you?
Yeah, I started about, 6-7 weeks ago. I took a break. I had ridden since 2007 nonstop, was pretty burned out, and started a website, very simple, billholter.com. And if people want to reach me directly with questions, my email's on there. My email is bholter@hotmail.com.
And folks, if you don't want to miss a single interview with Bill or any of our guests, make sure you subscribe to our completely free newsletter by going to our website, libertyandfinance.com. That's libertyandfinance, all spelled out, .com. Put in your name, your email address, click submit, and make sure you confirm on the confirming email, and you'll get one email in your inbox per day with our latest interviews and any weekly specials. Bill, our viewers look to you because you get your sense about you, common sense. It's a rare thing in these upside down times when you mentioned some examples of it, and there's a lot more. But anyway, really grateful for your presence here. Thanks for making time for us today. I know it's a busy day for you, and appreciate you taking the time out to join us here again on Liberty and Finance.
Thank you, Dunnigan.
Miles Franklin Precious Metals is one of America's oldest and most trusted bullion dealers. Miles Franklin is A-plus rated and accredited by the Better Business Bureau, licensed and bonded, and has zero complaints ever registered. Here at Liberty and Finance, we are licensed brokers with Miles Franklin. To order, simply call us, discuss your needs, and we can let you know our live inventory, prices, and availability, and lock in your order over the phone. Once your order is locked, the price is held for you regardless of market fluctuations, and the metals are reserved for you awaiting your settled payment. Within one business day of ordering, you will receive an email invoice detailing the order and payment instructions. Miles Franklin accepts payments by bank wire, ACH or electronic check, money order, check mailed priority mail, and cryptocurrency. The fastest forms of payment are bank wire and cryptocurrency. Upon settled payment,
metals will ship out within 3 to 5 business days. You will receive tracking information via email. Domestic shipping charges are $15 for any order under 500 ounces of silver or 10 ounces of gold. For orders larger than that, domestic shipping is free. The package will be boxed, fully insured, and labeled discreetly, with no indication of the contents inside. For your privacy, the name Miles Franklin will not even be on the package. To talk to myself, Kaiser, my brother Elijah, or my father Dunnigan, call 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237.